Hey, this is Amber Darst, Dental Insurance Coordinator for Managed Outsource Solutions. As we all know, understanding dental insurance can be quite a challenge. There are several confusing aspects involved, and the one that I want to hit on today is dual coverage. It can get quite tricky. So, when you're speaking of dual coverage, this is pertaining to when a patient is covered by more than one insurance plan. So the advantage for the patient of having dual coverage is that it can fill the gaps in coverage that occur when a few different things happen. First, when the individual's primary policy's annual spending limit has been reached, or when a plan does not provide coverage for necessary or desired dental treatments, or even just to pick up that little extra amount that the primary didn't pay, oftentimes leaving the patient with zero out-of-pocket cost. So dual insurance definitely helps people maximize their benefits. Now, when it comes to figuring out which is primary and which is secondary, that's when it gets a little hairy. Generally, the primary plan is the plan that the patient themselves is enrolled in, and then the secondary plan is the one that covers them as a dependent. Once the primary plan has paid what expenses it should pay as determined by the Coordination of Benefits, or COB, provision, the secondary plan then can be used. For adults, the primary plan is the one in which the person is enrolled, typically through his or her employment, and then their spouse's plan would be considered secondary. If an individual has a plan through their current employment as well as a retiree plan, the plan that is through their current employment would be the primary. And for dependent children, primary coverage is usually based on which parent's birthday falls earlier in the year. In the event of a divorce or remarriage, court orders may state which parent has primary responsibility. So it is up to the dentist's office to determine which plan is primary before the patient's appointment. Failing to do so may result in improper billing and a wrong distribution of funds. It's quite time-consuming to fix those mistakes once the claims have cleared their payment. Now, when a patient has dual coverage, plans do coordinate the benefits to avoid over-insurance or duplication of benefits. Like I've already covered, claims are first sent to the payer that offers the plan designated as primary. That plan should pay its normal benefits regardless of any other insurance plan or additional coverage. From there, once sent to the secondary carrier, it's up to the secondary guidelines on how they proceed with their payment. There are several different COB policies that determine how the patient's coverage is met. First would be traditional. So the traditional COB policy allows the beneficiary to receive up to 100% of dental treatment expenses from a combination of both the primary and the secondary plans. Then there is non-duplication COB. In this case, if the primary plan paid the same or more than what the secondary plan would have paid if it had been primary, then the secondary plan is not responsible for any payment at all. If the primary plan pays less than the secondary carrier allows, then the secondary plan will pay the difference between the primary plan payment and the allowed amount of the secondary plan. Then we have maintenance of benefits. This arrangement reduces covered charges by the amount that the primary plan has paid, and then applies the plan deductible and co-insurance criteria. As a result, the plan pays less than it would under a traditional COB arrangement, and the beneficiary usually has to share some of the cost. And last, we have carve-out. In this coordination method, the normal plan benefits that would be paid are first calculated, and then this amount is reduced by the amount paid by the primary carrier. So, by coordinating benefits, the primary and secondary health insurance companies use both insurance plans in a way that avoids a duplication of benefits while still providing the patient with the coverage to which they are entitled. Here are a few tips for filing claims and entering the payments for the primary and secondary payment plans. Both primary and secondary claims must be filed. Always file both, even when you think the secondary will not be picking up any extra charges. Also, when filing, the ADA encourages providers to bill their full practice fee on all dental claims. Write-offs should not be posted until all plans have been paid. And then if the dental office receives more than the practice fee, they must refund the insurance company. If the total paid by multiple plans is less than the lowest contracted fee, the patient has to pay the difference between the lowest contracted fee and the total paid by the dental plan. If the dentist is not contracted with any of the patient's plans, the patient is responsible for the full practice fee as submitted on the claim form. COB rules for insured plans are generally defined by state insurance laws. Each insurance follows a different set of rules, and one insurer may require prior authorization for certain services, while another may not. The best option for providers is to rely on an experienced dental billing company to submit accurate claims, which would ensure you get paid quickly. And that's it. I hope this helps, but always remember that documentation and a thorough knowledge of payer regulations and guidelines is critical to ensure accurate reimbursement for the procedures performed. Thanks for listening in.